And if you're interested in aviation, you'll be happy to know that the main exhibit hall at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. has just reopened as it celebrates a big birthday. The museum houses the largest collection of historic air and spacecraft and is one of the most visited museums in the world. Jacob Fenston of Here and Now contributor WAMU paid a visit and has our story.
On July 1st, 1976, it was quiet in the halls of the hulking new building on Independence Avenue. Bob Vanderlinden was inside on the second floor balcony.
And we saw this just massive humanity outside the door.
Vanderlinden was still in college. He was volunteering with the Smithsonian. He and everyone else at the museum had been working around the clock to get ready.
The museum was perfect. Just for a moment, you know, there were just a few moments, it was just perfect.
Then, at 10 a.m., the doors opened and the masses poured in.
Can I have your cell phone keys, wallet, and bags, please?
40 years later, the museum still attracts visitors from all over the U.S. and the world.
The building was designed to handle about 3 million people a year, and we have been getting 7, 8, even 9 million a year for the last 40 years, and the numbers don't change. It's remarkable.
My name is Ryan Welch. Came here with our family from Las Vegas, Nevada. I was here when I was a kid, so it's good to come back and see it. A lot of it's the same, a lot of the same planes. This is my favorite museum all the way over here. It's like, I can't wait till you guys see the Air and Space Museum.
I'm Caitlin, and I think my favorite thing here so far was the Spirit of St. Louis, because it was the first plane to fly across the Atlantic Ocean.
The museum has been delighting kids and exhausting their parents for a couple of generations now, with the airplanes and spaceships you learn about in school suspended from the lofty ceilings.
What is this it looks like it's like maybe a lamp from IKEA or something. It's got the
basketball
silver thing with the four legs on it.
That is one of the most important objects in the history of spaceflight.
That's Bob Vanderlinden again. He got a job at the museum in 1977. He's now curator of aeronautics, and he's schooling me in Cold War history.
That is Sputnik. Now, that is obviously not the real Sputnik. The real Sputnik burned up. But in September 1957, that is what scared the United States half to death.
The Soviet Union's launch of Sputnik sparked the space race and the creation of NASA.
That was the first big step into the space age, the first artificial man-made device to orbit the Earth.
Like a lot of kids, Vanderlinden was fascinated by flight when he was little. He grew up in the D.C. area, and he used to visit the precursor to the Air and Space Museum, a hangar-like structure behind the Smithsonian Castle.
What we call the tin shed. I spent many long hours as a child going through the museum.
He says he still sees that sense of wonder he felt in kids today.
Down deep, it really is a miracle. You can, you know, write out the calculations and the formula and explain it completely. But when you see an airplane flying or a spacecraft deep in the sky orbiting the Earth, it's a miracle. And I think that just touches something unique in human being. It's just, we can fly now.
Turning 40, the Air and Space Museum is showing its age. The Smithsonian is asking Congress for $750 million to retrofit the building. But it's still inspiring its young visitors, just like the old tin shed did.
I really do like rocket ships and stuff, so, and I would like to be in one.
8-year-old Eva Billups is here from Alexandria, Virginia, with her mom and brother.
I think I'm going to be a teacher of space when I grow up.
For Here and Now, I'm Jacob Fenston.